Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Nailed it. Okay, we've got the mailbag. It is absolutely full of mail. Sam, why don't you open that thing up and see what's in there?
Ooh, all right. We got some mail, a couple of packages, and oh crap. Way at the bottom of the mailbag, I think I may have found all of the missing televote points that Switzerland and the United Kingdom were supposed to get. Sorry. Oh, this is awkward.
Oh, all two?
And welcome to another baggy episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision song podcast from America, the country that's available on Switch 2. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Wow. All right. U.S. tariffs can't stop us. Not on this podcast.
Nope. Not this one. This is purely made in America. So that's how you know that it's going to fall apart at any moment. Speaking of falling apart at any moment, Sam.
Hi.
It's never been more apt.
It's okay. You can hit him with the socials if you like.
Or I not. Can?
We can just, you can, I, you can listen to your heart, Sam.
Love dub? I don't know what my heart's saying.
Oh, it stopped.
Oh, crap. It's been one of those days, guys. For the record, Eric had his bachelor party last night, and therefore Liz That's had true. Her bachelorette party last night. So if either of us sound slightly worse for the wear, that's what's going on here. But yes,
I'm fine.
We
just
too.
Had just... balls thrown hit towards us.
Yes.
One of those bachelor Crazy. Parties, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like a little tattoo. Wild. Ah. Socials.
For the record, I still am in last night's makeup. Anyway, you can find us on all the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page or support us with either a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained monthly donation over on our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. The Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. One of those things that they could do is send us emails and messages through Patreon directly. We asked everybody, whether they're just listening to the podcast, Patreon, our socials, just to send us their questions. So it's a mailbag episode. We do these every once in a while, and we're always happy to answer questions, relevant, irrelevant, big, small, silly, or not.
Got to get that bag.
That mail bag.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. There were a lot of questions. We're probably not getting to all of them. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, there were a lot of them. So
we might, you know, spread some of these out to other episodes in the future. It's again, yes, especially perhaps. During the summertime when we don't have a ton of content.
Yeah.
I guess in terms of news, it looks like the Austrian broadcaster did give us a little bit more information on their bidding process. And it looks like they may have also narrowed down the dates that Eurovision will officially be next year in their sort of internal document. It looks like there was mentioned that the dates for Eurovision 2026 will probably either be the final on Saturday the 16th or Saturday the 23rd.
And not going earlier again.
No, surprisingly not. And which is kind of disappointing considering I booked a hotel for myself for a show that was going to be on the 9th. But oh well.
Oh, Sam.
Oh well. Anyway, it looks like they said that they will be confirming the host venue by August. So hopefully we will have all that by the end of summer, even though it's gotta be Vienna, right?
What's it not doing Vienna? What are they gonna do it in Innsbruck? Are they gonna have it in a chalet?
I mean, I
could have done that here in this case in Switzerland. Who knows? Yeah. The Alpine winners. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be nice. What if we have a German win next year? You know,
ooh, yeah.
Slovenian win. Cross those fingers.
Yeah, that would be great. Just noting, I love that EurovisionWorld.com wrote this, that there's a semifinals for the UEFA Champions League on May 5th and 6th. The final is on May 30th. So for television purposes, it really does need to be between those. Europa League final is on May 20th. Interesting. Mm.
Yeah, in other scheduling news, they have also normally San Remo is held in the beginning of February. However, there's been a big kerfuffle because Italy is going to be hosting the Winter Olympics in 2026 in Milano and Cortina d'Ampezzo up there.
Same area, yeah.
Yeah, more in the Alps, and San Remo's a little bit further further west and closer to France. But because of scheduling, the San Remo extravaganza will be held near the end of February. I know, but I think somebody has pointed out that it's potentially going to be the same final night as UMK. So, like, we've got a couple of months to really kind of figure out what our priorities are. Is it going to be the San Remo final, or is it going to be UMK?
Oh, probably UMK, if I'm being honest.
Actually, let's be honest. You could probably have all of the UMK songs played back to back.
Probably watch that whole thing without missing anything super important.
Yeah.
San Remo will be on song 4.
Why don't we just switch over from being a Eurovision podcast to being a San Remo podcast? I think we'd have more material, honestly.
Why don't they just start San Remo during the Olympics?
Why don't they just start San Remo now?
That's fair.
We're 12 Topogigios from America.
Yeah. Have you heard, has anyone else checked out, there's an English version of Baller?
The German, I think I prefer the German.
Oh, I 100% prefer the German. It doesn't work the same. It really doesn't.
Yeah, I never thought that I would actually prefer the Hungarian version over the English version. So, I mean, but I do find it funny that it's still just called Baller.
It is still just called Baller, even though they snuck in some ballers like right at the end so that it would kind of fit. But yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't slap the way that.
Yes, it doesn't. It's like listening to 99 Red Balloons instead of 99 Love Balloons. Like, it's just not. It just doesn't work. Something about it. We did a whole episode on this.
On 99 Love Balloons?
No, on the fact that sometimes not translating it into English actually makes it more universal somehow.
You know, like listening to Der Kommissar instead of Der Kommissar.
I don't know what's it about? Thank God we don't have a word like commissar in English. It's just not the same. Okay, where's that mailbag? And where are all those votes?
toss out those old televotes, and let's get to some questions, shall we?
All right, right into the recycling.
They've gone bad already.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was wondering what that smell was. Anyway, Eric, you are the one who curated our list of questions, so why don't I pass you the bag and... Thanks.
Time to, let's see, we'll start with Nick_MN. I think this is from Patreon. Thank you, Nick, for asking opinions on anti-booing technology versus blocking crowd noise and overlaying cheers.
We're starting heavy, aren't we?
Yeah, well, okay, I will open by saying that I don't really like either of these things. I think the anti-booing is just, I think the show benefits from the crowd being a part of the show. And yes, I understand that means that certain acts in certain situations are going to be very interesting, and that's fine. But I really felt like so much of this year's broadcast just felt muted. That like I know it was Switzerland, but there was this almost neutrality to the lack of crowd noise on things like when like Rim Tim Tagidim was performed in 2024. Like you could hear the crowd so loudly. And the crowd participation was such a big part of why that was so fun. And this year there just wasn't really anything like that. Everything was just kind of quiet.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, if you can't hear the audience saying yum yum after Gojo says sweet sweet, or you know, it kind of neuters the song a little bit. It kind of takes some of the bite out of it. I can understand why the EBU might be a little bit skittish about letting everything fly during serving for Malta this year.
Meh.
But even when Latvia had Eat Your Salad a couple of years ago, they didn't. I don't remember them blunting things as much.
No.
And it still felt lively. I can understand. The anti-booing, I think there's a difference between like temporarily turning down the audience noise if it's overwhelming a song. However, it's part of the show. It's part of the concert.
It's part of the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a natural reaction. If we're gonna do nothing about, I don't know, just to speak very bluntly, if we're gonna do nothing about the televotes, then why would we do anything about the people who are in the arena. I mean, I don't know.
Think back for a moment to Polina Gagarina in Russia 2015, who got booed every time she was on screen, basically. Yeah. And I remember when Eurovision again, back when that was a thing, we should do that again, by the way.
Screaming them to do that again, yeah.
Yeah, Eurovision again. I think... I remember during that rewatch starting to kind of feel bad for her because of how much she was just booed constantly. But it was a memorable part of the show.
Mm.
She came out as super pro Putin when the war started. And I was like, oh, you know what? I actually don't feel bad for her at all.
Right.
But it was a great performance and all that. Like in the moment, I could see that being frustrating. But I don't know. Just let it be more organic. I understand why you're doing it. It's just I think it's really ridiculous.
And I think there's also a difference between turning down the volume of audience noise versus overlaying something over it, which I just found distasteful. Like that's just a flat out lie.
Yes. Yeah. At that point, you're just lying about
what's
going on. And that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Especially it sounded fake. Like it just didn't. It's frustrating. It is incredibly frustrating.
It's funny you mentioned Gojo specifically, because I wonder if that squeaks through to the final, if there's enough crowd noise saying yum yum and so on. Because like that one really, I think, probably suffered because of that specific issue.
It wouldn't surprise me. And honestly, he came in 11th, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Derek, what do you think?
I think if you're muting the booing, you're ignoring the actual problem.
Yes. Yes.
Which, I mean, fundamentally, if you have to sweep that under the rug and pretend it's not there, I feel like you're ignoring a larger problem. I mean, yeah, the audience is part of the show. And if they boo, I'm sorry. I get muting it a little bit, but at a certain point, it's like you can't ignore it anymore. Like, I'm sorry.
At a certain point, they might as well be wearing tuxedos and sitting in seats again.
Yeah. And also fake cheering, I think, is fake. Even worse.
Yeah, agreed. Because
that's like, okay, don't do that. If the song ends and no one cheers, okay, I'm sorry. That's just how it is. I mean, we don't like it. That'd be like saying, okay, nobody gets 0 points anymore. We average it out like Junior.
Ugh.
And if they're going to do that, I mean.
The Eurovision audience there is relatively forgiving, too, you know? People are always going to clap unless you've done something wrong and you know what you did.
Right. whether it's clapping for a performance done or, oh, my favorite song is about to come up. Like, people, generally speaking, if a song is just sort of meh, people will still applaud, you know, to be polite.
Yeah, Pavlovian response.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let's do another thing that won't be controversial at all. Maya asks, thank you, Maya. What now that the voting starts at the beginning, is it better to be early in the running order looking at you, Estonia?
I'm gonna say yes.
I think yes. I mean, Ukraine won nearly won the televote out of the death slot last year, so I think that's a good piece of evidence in that direction. That being said, they shouldn't do this. I hate that the vote starts at the start of the show. I think it incentivizes not watching the show.
Or it incentivizes voting for your favorite before you've even seen the perform.
Right.
I mean, why bother?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I also think if people don't fully understand the voting system, if you say, I love this song, I'm going to vote 20 times for song number 2, and they don't get to hear the rest of the show, and they realize, oh, I can't vote anymore. There's an unbalance there. And granted, part of that is just people not reading the rules and not understanding the voting system, and, you know, human error is human error. It's there are pitfalls to it, because I feel like it almost disadvantages the folks at the end.
It does. Yes. Yeah.
And they tried to mitigate a little bit this year by showing one of the run-throughs in reverse order.
Have they done that before?
They have.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think that's it's good and it's worthy. Yeah. But yeah, opening up voting at the very beginning makes no sense, because aren't you supposed to have an idea? I mean, at that point, they're really pushing it towards the voting of the super fans, which are already an outsized block anyway. Those are the people who know all of the stuff already.
And also, didn't they do voting opening at the end of the show for the semifinals?
Didn't they? Yeah,
I
didn't they?
So.
I don't think you could vote at the beginning for the semis. Yeah.
Right. I think it was from the end of the show for the semis. So the fact that it's not quite consistent all the way through, I feel, is a little bit wonky as well.
And I will note the song that performed last finished last. in the final this time. And it, I think it's definitely gotten to the last few years. By the time we're at the end of a 26 song running order, we're just kind of done. It's so many. I'm not saying that should change. I don't think. But
actually, last in the running order wasn't because Jerem cloned us out, closed us out. But San Marino was second to one.
That's right. Cool. I'm wrong.
But yeah, it was certainly at the end there, and could Albania have had a better public score? You know, these are all the what ifs that we'll never be able to truly know. But
yeah, I really think that you really need to have kind of watched the show before voting opens. It that seems so simple and so uncontroversial. I don't really understand the change here. Junior opens the voting like 24 hours in advance. But you have to watch a recap before you vote. Like you have to go through and look through it all. I think if they did something like that, I would be a little more willing to give this sort of thing a go. Although a regular Eurovision final recap is like 8-9 minutes long. So.
Right. Yeah. So you may have people losing interest and clicking away and not voting, and therefore you have your lost income there. These questions are constant and constantly shifting and constantly changing. So who knows how it'll be different next year. And frankly, as we were saying before, voting certainly does need a bit of an overhaul. Overhaul or significant tweakings.
I mean, we say that every year, but
I know we juries. Do. And
no more televotes.
And they change.
No more
something.
Televotes.
No more televotes. Yes.
Ever.
I mean, the jury
no more
picks
televotes. People can't
anyway.
Be trusted.
I mean, that's already how it is. The jury's already picking the winner.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, so the juries also can't be trusted. The winner will be chosen via
random draw.
Trial by death.
Rochambeau.
To the death.
A big game of Magic the Gathering will determine the winner.
All right. So which brings the question. If that is the case, who would have won? If this year it was all down to a game of Magic the Gathering, who do you think would have won it?
Ooh.
Who's the biggest nerd?
Who's the biggest dweeb? What if it's JJ still?
It'd probably still JJ, yeah.
I was gonna say maybe Tommy Cash.
You think he plays Magic the Gathering?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Disgusting. If it's trial by death, I think it's the girls from Latvia. I think they're unrestrained.
Justina from Poland.
She was tiny though.
Just been parged?
Cypress crushes us all underneath a scaffolding set.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? San Marino just summons all of it of Italy, tutta l'Italia, and they just overwhelm everybody else.
Yeah, we all get crushed under the fountain, under the Trevi fountain. Yeah.
This is like
army of masked men.
Yeah, this
the
is
statue
like,
of David blows a giant bubble of bubble gum and just smothers everybody and just pink.
Yeah, well, that's how it starts. That's to distract everyone. Throw them off their rhythm. And well, this is like in the football season when we're like, okay, who would actually win between Vikings and Bears?
Vikings.
Great.
The Bears would do some damage, but no, Vikings.
Yeah. This is our men versus gorilla moment, I think. Yeah, yes. Let us know if they just had to fight to the death, who wins? Who wins the thing? Not Ireland, I bet. Anyway, let's see. Speaking of Latvia, Tristan, thank you, Tristan, asks, does Latvia's televote result show how important narrative from the press / Eurobubble is?
I don't know. If it does, I don't know, because I'm not really in that bubble myself. I don't know. Maybe people... a lot of their stuff came from the televote. They got a huge stuff from the televote. People aren't in that bubble.
Well, it came from the televote during the semifinal. In the grand final, they only had 42 points from the public.
Yeah, but they came darn close to winning the semi.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which was 100% televote or public vote.
Crazy. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think Derek, you had pointed this out, that like the groups of voters are quite different. I think when Belgium released their vote numbers, it's something like there are about 10 times as many voters in the final as there are in the semis. So that's just such a huge difference. But in the semis, generally speaking, you vote for what you want to qualify because you're watching the semi, you're invested in who's qualifying. In the final, you're voting for who you want to win. And I think...
it is a different dynamic, yeah.
Very, very, very different. And clearly people really latched on to Latvia In that semi, I guess I don't recall specifically what the press Eurobubble narrative was on Latvia, other than that. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
Like, are we just saying like, oh, yeah, everyone really liked it, but everyone was concerned about it not qualifying, and so everybody kind of threw it votes. Sorry,
I don't know if that kind of felt like that was the narrative, at least in my experience.
Was that everyone they need your votes? Like,
well, because Latvia traditionally struggles, right, even with good songs, and this was a really interesting, different kind of song for them and for the contest. And everyone was like, "Oh, nobody's going to vote for this. They're gonna see it as this weird art piece and just ignore it." And ultimately, it nearly won the semi, which is kind of crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly thought when they qualified, they came in at like 8th or 9th or something.
Some of those semi rankings are shocking. That one, Ukraine, and the other one, obviously, yeah, there's a lot of just sort of general support for them, but like a lot of people weren't sure that song was qualifying at all, and it won, which is
nuts. There's something, it's fascinating to me to look at the semi results after the final and see how different the results are. Because you'd think, looking at the semi, oh, Latvia is going to absolutely crush it in the final now, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like if we'd known where Latvia finished in the semi going into the final, I feel like we would have been disappointed that they were 13th. I mean, they made left side of the table.
They were, 13th.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Especially for them. Like, that's fantastic. But if we'd known they were second in the semi and then they struggled with televote in the final, it would have been like, well, what happened? Mm. Let's see.
Results were weird this year, man. Weird.
It was a weird year. It was a very interesting year. Let's go to another question. Lisa asks, thank you, Lisa. This is a very good question. This is from email, 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com. According to this, and there's a video, and folks on the show, if you haven't watched this, I'll warn you, there's an AI Donald Trump at the start of it.
Ew.
I'm sorry. But it makes the point, as Lisa notes, Switzerland does not exist. And so how likely is it that we hallucinated this whole event, and which performance, besides hallucination, is the most likely to have been a hallucination?
Well, I mean, considering that we were kind of on a try point, like, it's very possible that we were just in Germany the entire time. Like,
everyone spoke German.
Yeah, everybody spoke German. There was very little French actually spoken in the area where we were.
Personally, I would personally like to believe that San Marino's entire performance was just inside of a nightmare corner in my head, because I don't want to believe that someone saw all of that and decided it should be put together and shown to people.
But I agree.
I think for me, Latvia would have been like the hallucination that's sort of like kind of slightly trippy, kind of chant like kind of.
Yeah, I can imagine like six forest witches drone coming towards me, and then I glance over and they all have tails, and then I blink and they're gone, and I go, hey, what was that? And they go,
I mean, on
then I wake up in a cold sweat.
It's a fever dream. I mean, I still can't wrap my mind around how Estonia did so well. I mean, it just feels like a nightmare come true.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, a party feels like something that could have been hallucinated.
Right.
Being honest. God, it's just so weird. Everything about Like a Party is so weird. Starting with, it's a Norwegian act. Like,
Like, everyone joked that Italy had 4 acts this year. Nobody mentioned that Norway had 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It's not even the best song about Laika from Norway.
Ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. I hope Laika Party never dies in our discussions. All right, next up, Jacob asks, best food you had in Basel?
Ooh.
Well, we know what Eric's answer is.
All right, I have an immediate top 3.
We do?
I do, anyway. You know, feel free to, you know, thumbs up if you agree or not. The fondue meal that we all had together.
Yep.
At the Lowen,
for sure.
I can't remember the Lowen.
It
wasn't Lowenbrau.
No,
that's a beer.
Oh,
you're a beer.
Lowenzorn.
That's what it is.
In Old Basel, which was absolutely delicious. That was fantastic. That's my bronze.
That's your bronze.
That's my bronze. Yeah. Second place was the Portuguese tapas, including the pastel de nata that we had at Spark, the Portuguese restaurant that was right by our apartment.
So good.
And the service was fantastic. And my number one was, I believe the bakery is called Gundeli. It was actually right by Lowenzorn. And I had a strawberry and cream tart from that little bakery that made me see stars. It was quite possibly the best just simple strawberry and cream tart that I've ever had. And it was just freaking fabulous. And I don't know what it is, but like we had Lisa Jane Lewis brought, you know, a punnet of strawberries to the press center one day. Because, you know, and thank you for that, Lisa Jane. Like, because oftentimes we don't eat super well while we're at Eurovision. So somebody bringing fresh fruit to the press center was fantastic. And they were just the best basic commercial strawberries I have ever had. And then
Derek, you were talking, you were talking about those strawberries like you'd seen God or something, like that they were just like, even aesthetically, visually, they were just perfect.
I was expecting those to be the kind of strawberries that you would pay $30 per berry for in some like high class Japanese market.
I mean, they weren't, they were not real. They did not look real.
Oh, that's the hallucination, was the
just the perfect color. They tasted like strawberries.
It's a good thing always, for strawberries
I
to taste.
I always forget when I leave the United States how all United States food is designed to last, have a strong shelf life, and look good, and that's it. Taste is never factored in. So if you go to another country and you start eating, you're like, oh, that's what a strawberry is supposed to taste like.
Right. But I don't know if it was just the magic of Swiss strawberries plus a really, really good bake shop, but that strawberry cream tart will live
all
in my memory
hail
forever.
Strawberries.
Oh.
It was pretty next level.
Yeah. Derek, what about you? What was your best bite?
I'm sorry. Or I'm going to have to call out the Market Plus Basel and the delicious pasta bolognese we had on the first day.
Oh yeah,
everything. It was a fresh made pasta. They had the sauce there cooking. Oh my god, it was just fantastic. Everything in that market looked delicious, and I wish I could have eaten at every single booth.
I had a Peruvian ají de gallina, like a chicken, almost like a chicken curry, in that
also
market.
Fantastic.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the carbonara there twice, which is, I assume, what Derek was going to say.
Yep. You
know, what Derek was. my number one is the Chocomel that Constantine brought.
thank you, Constantine.
There's that. There's the fondue. The Portuguese place was out of this world. I will shout out, this is stupid, when we went up to Europa Park, I had an Oreo donut that's like...
the most American thing you could have possibly gotten over there.
And if you can get these in Minnesota, I would totally have it again. I mean, it's a donut with like the Oreo cream in the middle, and like, I don't know, it was really good. What else?
I've seen those around somewhere.
Yeah, probably. The chocolate from the chocolatier we went to on the way out was... also very good.
I will also shout out, in Zurich we went to a raclette factory.
Oh yes.
And I would say I like that far better than the fondue.
I mean, I wouldn't turn either of those down. I mean, that was really, and the ice cream shop that we went to like around the corner from there, like a very dairy, yes, very, very dairy filled day,
every dairy lunch and dinner.
Worth it.
Food's good in Switzerland, who would have thought.
Yeah Yep.
All right, let's see. We've got Alex. Thank you. Alex asks, what are your thoughts on the interval acts? I'm in favor of them. Next question.
I mean, in terms of like the quality of the interval acts themselves, I thought, you know, at least for the final, like we know the reason for having interval acts. I mean, they're not just entertainment. They're also, you know, giving people time to vote and to tabulate votes. Yeah. I thought like that sort of remembrance of Swiss acts of the past, I thought was really, really great. Yeah. Especially like bringing back stuff from the 80s, you know, with Peter, Sue, and Mark, Paola, which was really quite lovely, and then a little bit more modern with Luca Hani and John's Tears. I thought that Baby Lasagna Caria mashup was...
Oh, that's the winner.
Yeah, it's legendary.
They posted the... like top 20, the Eurovision YouTube always posts the top 20 most watched videos on our channel from May. And that's the first time I can think of that an interval act made that list, was the Caria Baby Lasagna mashup fight thing, which is just great. Just great. I will shout out the surprise appearance of Petra as William Tell.
Yes.
As a great bit. I mean, they're all good. I loved, and not just because Cleopatra was in it, but I loved the salute to 2020. And I think that like as a 5-year anniversary thing, every 5 years, let's bring a few more people in to do that. I think that's great.
My quibble with that, however, as wonderful as it was for those songs to have a moment. So we had John's Tears back. We had The Roop. We had Effendi. We had Destiny. The problem is that every single one of those acts came back in 2021. And I would have loved to have seen acts that were selected for 2020, but didn't carry forward. And I understand that there would have been absolute issues bringing in Little Big or Val. I totally get that.
Oh,
even if they had gotten Little Big, though, that would have been incredible because they don't live in Russia anymore. They're now U.S. based. They are outspoken, you know, anti-Putin. They're great.
Well, that wouldn't be very united by music of them.
Oh, who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, I know.
And Val I thought were incredibly underrated as well. But like, I wish they would have brought back, I mean, I don't know if Ben Dolich would have been, he might not have been, you know, a lot of these acts might not necessarily have been up for it. But if you
voice has dropped by now.
That's fair. All right, so looking at like the list of 2020 acts, so yeah. Arelena
Ara. Oh, we could have had Ulrika, your favorite.
Yeah. Supposedly she's just had a baby though, so I think she has a good reason to, you know, to rest. Athena Manoukian would have been she tried this year.
Mm-hmm.
She got Val, like I said,
Diodato is the probably the
Diodato,
big one.
But he's already had a moment.
He did, yes. Yeah.
Sandro, Ben and Tan.
Oh, I don't think they're still a group.
Ben or Tan. Axel from Finland. Ooh, I mean, considering
ben
that we had Tan. That we had that we had Erika this year, Axel. Mm. Nah, we could have finally had Tom Lieb.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
I want to die.
Alicia from Poland. Elisa from Portugal. Let's see. Who else were we potentially missing?
Man, there are fewer of
the
these
mamas,
than I...
The mamas?
Okay. Yeah, mamas would have been good. There are fewer of these than I remember there being. Like, they really just kind of hit... refresh.
A lot of people just let them roll over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I mean, which probably reason. Lent to 2021 being just an absolutely legendary year in terms of music quality. But
yeah.
I, you know, these are acts who, you know, the folks who were at the semifinal, they're acts that the Eurovision community do know well. We do love. There is a lot of, you know, a lot of goodwill towards them. So, like, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, they're share the wealth a bit.
They should have brought back Tarnika Kipiani and nobody else. Oh, and Uku Suviste, obviously. For next year's tribute to 2021 contest.
Okay, yeah, the Uku Tornike Variety Hour. There we go.
Yeah, just one interval act. It's an hour long, and it's just them talking about wanting to be a Spanish guy and better off alone. I love it. Put us in charge. I don't know how many times we have to explain this. We have the ideas. Okay, next question. What did you guys make of the new split screen in the semis? This is from Vince, who we're now shouting out for apparently the third consecutive episode. Thank you, Vince.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah. And also asked,
okay, I feel
because
like
this is... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like since I'm forgetting what he means, maybe we have listeners who forget what he means. What split screen?
Instead of just when they were announcing the semifinal qualifiers, instead of just saying, and the next qualifier is Latvia.
We will show
they showed three different acts.
It's stupid.
They had like a tri-split screen, a sort of triptych, I guess, of one of these will qualify right now. The others go back into the pool.
I don't know, just so that they got more screen time? Was that the idea? Was that we show everyone a little bit? Anyway, dumb as rocks. Stupid. Don't do it next year.
I don't know. When I heard the explanation of this, I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, why? That doesn't make any sense. And then I saw things like Azerbaijan and Portugal or whatever. A couple of those split screen moments were incredible. Like, truly, truly incredible. Fundamentally, I still hate it. It feels like such a just heightening drama for the sake of having more drama sort of thing. But I'm not going to lie. At least a couple of times, it was amazing. It just absolutely amazing. You know what this is like is in Major League Baseball, bear with me, in the extra innings where they change the rule to allow teams to start with a runner on second base. I hate that rule. I think it's a disgrace to the game of baseball, but I won't lie. It has made some very dramatic things happen. I guess that's about how I feel about the split screen thing. Derek, what do you think?
I totally agree. I don't like it in principle, but when it was happening, there were multiple times where everyone at the table was like, who's it going to be? Well, it has to be this person. And then when they call somebody else, there was like shock and awe. I don't like it when it gets down to the last person, because at that point they're like going to everybody who's left and you can just see the looks on their faces like, well, it's not me, obviously.
I do appreciate though that while they have that moment of it's not going to be me, they don't zoom in on people on the moment of disappointment.
I did appreciate
that. They just focus on the person who's qualified through with that last that last name. And I do appreciate that. Kind of mitigates the misery, I guess.
Yeah. If you're going to do this, they handled it well. I don't know. It's still stupid.
It is. But it's not as ridiculous as I thought it was going to be.
Vince also asked, that's 4 shout outs in 3 episodes now.
Vince Cast.
Vince Podcast. Thoughts on juries and semis?
Bring them back.
Very simple. Yes, please. Please, for the love of God.
Yep. That's it.
I mean, there still needs to be some reform going on. But yeah.
That is one of the reforms that needs to happen rather than just the end.
Just bring them back.
Yeah. Just larger juries generally. Put it up to like 10, 15 people. Like it's 5 is definitely too small. And this year, and I think this happens in a decent number of years, it wasn't even 5. We had a couple of instances this year. Alika Milova, aka Bridges Lady, got booted from the Estonian jury for posting on social media about which song she liked. I think
Katerina Pavlenko.
Katerina from Goa, same thing. It's very well established that you can't do that. I'm not saying that it's not a big deal or anything, but also like there are so few people on the juries that something like this can make such a big difference.
I didn't really take a moment to also dive into who was on the juries in terms of gender and age splits, and you know what percentage are singers versus music journalists versus just you know television executives. You know, the larger the jury, the easier it is to balance a lot of that. So I'm very much in favor of at least a 15 person jury with, you know, a handful of backup jurors that if somebody does get disqualified, because, you know, people are human, they screw up and, you know, they break a rule or something like that. But let them have a shark's tooth that can kind of, you know, fill in behind.
Yeah. All right. Moving on from Vince Podcast, Kate asks, if you could wave a magical wand and change one thing about this year's song contest, what would it, besides perhaps the one thing?
Just one thing? Just one?
I do
just
wish
a second.
That there
before
was
we
more...
continue, I'm Sorry. Getting like a weird
yeah,
flicking
I'm
noise.
Hearing
like
too.
A shake of...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hearing
someone's got a little egg shaker in the background. Yeah.
Well, it's not there now, so...
Yeah.
That's fine.
Not me.
Sam, go ahead.
I do understand the need to have a little bit more... rehearsals that are, you know, continue to be closed off to the press. I feel like they took it to a little bit of an extreme this year, that even the press were not able to see anything until the first full dress rehearsal. And especially for national media, like even just going beyond, like we're considered like fan press technically, or oftentimes like a podcast like ours would be considered fan press. But for a national broadcaster, it might be a little bit more difficult for like national media, newspapers and things like that, for them to be able to access information that their readers, their viewers might want. I feel like it was a little bit too restrictive this year, and I wish that there would have been a bit more available to press in terms of what we had access to. That would probably be one thing, but that's really very insider baseball. And I'm also probably a little bit bitter just because I've been doing this for long enough. I remember when it was 2 weeks of full rehearsals. I remember that. And that was also too much. So I feel like there's still more tweaking that has to be done with that in terms of what's the right balance between safeguarding the artists, keeping a level of surprise, but also still allowing journalists of every stripe to be able to tease out information in a way that is responsible.
Yeah, the photography policy during like dress rehearsals and things like that was just draconian. And I kind of feel the same way. That's like, oh, boo hoo, you got to go watch dress rehearsals before anyone, but you couldn't take
pictures. It's not that. I get how people could say, you know, oh, you're just being
privilege or whatever.
It's more than and I get that. I realize that I'm in a very lucky position that we are. But there must be another way to kind of balance this out a little bit more.
Yeah. Other than that, I would put Gojo in the final. I wanted a taste. Let's see. I would say, you know, outside of like voting controversies and things like that, it was, you know, it was a weird year, but it was a fun year. It was, you know, I don't have a ton of complaints. I mean, a lot of the songs that we thought were like, oh, this is really good, but it's not making the final, did make the final. Lithuania, Latvia, like
Portugal.
Yes, thank you. Like if I could like handpick the songs I wanted in the final, I came very close to getting that. Like there's a lot a lot of good. Oh, I can think of a thing I would change. I would change the sensitivity of the metal detector going into going into the press center. I set that thing off every single time, and I have no idea how. Like, by the time we got to the end and we kind of knew some of these people, I was like, listen, like at the end they were like, oh, if you just walk in really slowly, it'll be fine. I'll be like, no, it won't. I'll tell the person, I'm going to set this off. I don't know why. You have all of my stuff. There is not a metal plate inside me somewhere that I'm unaware of or anything. Or I guess maybe there is if I'm not aware of it. But I don't understand. I have never had that. I've never had anything like that in my life. Every single time I set that stupid thing off.
It's like, it was really, like, I've never had to take my glasses off for a metal detector.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, really? Like, I understand, like, sometimes you have to take your accreditation off because there's metal in the thing and that can set it off. But it was ridiculous. Like, if you've seen metal in the past 10 minutes, you're going to set the thing off.
Mm-hmm. If you've thought about, like, Metallica, setting it off.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I had left on my person going through and still setting off was the zipper on my pants. And I very nearly just took my pants off just to say, all right, that's it. That's all the metal I have.
Mm-hmm. You see, again, a lot of this has to depend on, like, the relationships you have with the security guards that you see every day. Our dear friend Ewan Spence over at ESC Insight, while at Eurovision, he wears a full kilt. Like, not like the full grand kilt with, you know, the over-the-shoulder thing, but he wears a kilt, which is held together using metal pins. And that first day, people were like, okay, can you remove this pin? No, I can't. Are you sure you get it? No. I certainly could. I could, but I don't think you want me to.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, okay, you're okay. We know what's going on. And yeah.
Note to self, hide my gun in a kilt.
Good stuff. Maybe don't say that publicly next time.
Yeah, dude.
Just a thought.
It's fine. We're Americans. It's fine. Next question. ESC Heb. What's up? Esheb asks, what is your random
last question? I don't think Danny did either.
What's that?
Danny and I didn't answer that last question.
Oh, sorry.
What I'd change about Eurovision this year? Just the one thing?
Yeah.
Peacock, bring back live commentators. I miss Johnny Weir this year.
Aww.
Interesting.
Derek? Well, I mean, I do it.
get NBC Universal to tap me.
I've done it. I'm on the damn Wikipedia page. Not for this year, but in previous years, I've done it.
Yowza.
Derek, what would you change?
I might catch some heat for this, but I would say I would have liked to have seen Ukraine and Israel get whatever televote points they would have otherwise. I think having two countries in a situation where they just garner up all these televote points, it's just kind of getting ridiculous at this point. Since there's two of them, and they get like 500 points between the two of them, at least.
You do get a magic wand. Yeah, you do.
I would say. To
live in an alternate universe.
Be nice if they just got what they deserved. I'm not saying they deserve a lot less. It's just, you know, whatever that would have been.
Sure. That's just to kind of...
Yeah, whatever the actual organic result would have been.
I've seen some hand-wringing about those two countries being looped together or compared, and I understand why. I also understand why they're being, like, it's what you said, Derek, like, they are both benefiting from current events sort of things. I am not saying their situations are the same. They are not.
Yeah.
But the result of those situations is similar. I think is what people are saying. I don't think anyone, any serious person is saying that the geopolitical situations are the same. Certainly not.
That's not the comparison. Yeah. I'm just saying. So weird to know going into this. How long is this going to go on for?
These I'm countries sorry, are the starting with fits. 200 points on the board, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, ESC Heb asks, what is your random Eurovision ick? However trivial, I'd really dislike, as an example, this is ESC Heb's example, not mine. When the camera angles show the wheels on props, it really spoils the illusion. I'm thinking Jerry Heil's Rock in 2024.
Yeah, I did notice the Greek backdrop in the prop also had visible wheels, and I had a couple of people mention to me, it's like, oh, that's annoying. That's a really good question. I don't like it when a song references Eurovision itself.
What about a post-it note?
I mean, I've mentioned it before, like, one of my least favorite songs in Eurovision history is Beautiful Song, Latvia 2013. 12 by Anne Marie, just because mm-hmm. the entire song is, I want to go to Eurovision, and now I'm here. Aren't I fabulous? And it just, I like it when a song exists outside of the space of the contest.
Yes, yes.
If it can't stand on its own two legs outside of the contest, it does nothing for me. And that's different from somebody like during a, you know, a refrain in the song saying, Eurovision, come sing, you know, clap your hands. Like, I kind of...
That's different. That's an ad lib.
That's an ad lib, yeah. But when the song itself talks about the contest, that bothers me.
My big ick, and this is an enormous ick, that just, it would break the contest. I absolutely hate any time the host interviews people in the green room during the show. Every single time, it's the most awkward goddamn thing in the entire universe. Nobody wants to do it. I mean, the host might want to do it, but no performer wants to be there to field questions. Their head is abuzz from the performance they've just given. Or they're just like, I don't know, they're asked like a pointed question, and like it just results in awkward silence. Stop doing it. I don't even want to see the green room. Or if you show me a shot of the green room, do it from at least 100 yards away. I don't want to be able to distinguish any faces. I don't want any personality. Don't show them to me. Don't do it. Just show a picture of a photograph of Karia or something. I don't know.
But what if you like lean into the awkwardness that is just inherent in the situation? Like, I think it was 2014.
Oh, great. The host... Slow zoom where we just...
I keep thinking about 2014, where the hosts are like, we did research on all of our contestants, and Molly from the UK, we know that your favorite cake is from the curly whirly cake from this specific bakery in London, and here,
she was, let's horrified. Give you an
it was so awfully hilarious. Like, why, and awkward. It's like, why are you,
why do you
cake?
Know this? And also, thank you for the cake.
Yes. We hired private investigators to track your movements.
We tapped your phone. We've been looking at your internet history.
I know that's probably the most, like, obviously awkward interaction, but I swear every time they're like, hey, we would love to probe into your personal life for just a moment on international television. And it's just like, hi, I'm just a singer from Croatia. I don't want this. Like, it's that every single time. Like,
at least just give me a damn cake.
Yeah, I don't know. Just meow back.
Derek, what's your ick?
Oh my God. We already talked about this. I'll make it short. I can't stand the fact that the juries are not objective and that they still play favorites and Cyprus gives 12 points to Greece and stuff like that. It's like, that's not your job. Your job is to be, you know, neutral and not mm-hmm. give your friends points. And it happens every year and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to swallow your pride and say, I don't like this country. I don't like these people. That's fine. But I like the song. It gets 10 or 12 points. And my best friend did not send a good song. I'm not giving him anything.
Yeah, that's a good answer. My ick is Tom Lieb. I had a hard time coming up with something for this, but I will say what was going to forever be known as the firefighter phenomenon, as funny and memeable as that was, someone revealing the points, giving a full-on speech. And like you don't need to just be like, hi, hello from Ljubljana. Our 12 points go to, I don't know, probably Italy. And like, you can say more than that, but there's a point where I've definitely, and I think this happened at least a couple of times this year, where I was like, give the points. Like, please stop talking. This is a 4-hour show. Let's, you know, that's that. All right. Somebody named Finn, whatever that means, asks, city or country you'd most like to host Eurovision that hasn't yet, and favorite Eurovision stage of all time. That's a fun one.
I mean, honestly, in terms of stages, this year was pretty great. Just the versatility of it. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole stage/arena concept I really did like. A city or country that, I mean, I wasn't attending when Riga and Tallinn went back-to-back, and Vilnius hasn't hosted yet. So, I mean, that entire region, I would love to. I think Vilnius could be a lot of fun. Warsaw would probably also be great.
I'll say Prague for a city. That seems like a easy, good choice. I think Minneapolis would be good. just because I could drive home afterwards. That'd be good. Favorite stage? I think 2024 might be a good one. It served well for a lot of things. And it sort of had that in the round vibe, almost, not truly in the round, but that was good. And this year's was, very, very good as well. I have a soft spot for 2014 stage as well.
That was incredible too. I mean, and that was the one in the shipyard where they had so much versatility and so much space, especially vertical height, to really, really play with. That was a really unique venue in 2014. Mm. Derek and or Danny?
For me, place I want to host most, just because they were teased for us back during the year when we selected Liverpool. I want a Scottish city. UK to win. I want Edinburgh or Glasgow. Glasgow is probably going to be the obvious choice there.
They have the best arena.
Yeah.
Certainly. As far as the best stage, you guys have a different opinion just because you were on the ground, but I think this year's stage was the best one they've ever had.
It was spectacular.
I think the shape of the stage was not an obvious for a first choice, but being at home and seeing the sort of way that the arch at the far end was able to display every country, just the way that that frames everything just to start things out, and providing a horizontal runway for each act to sort of, if they wanted to, be able to interact with a wide swath of the live audience. Really great stuff.
Only for them to be then muted. This year's was really good. I was very skeptical of the proscenium arch business. It just seems but this matters so little for what is ultimately a TV show. The sight lines in the space were generally not great. But who cares?
Looked great on the TV.
It looked incredible. Yeah. At the start of each thing where they could put the name of the song and the artist and all that within the arch as it's like fantastic.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you have to balance out the needs of the, 13,000 people in the arena versus 165 million people watching at home.
Yeah. It is a TV show.
Yeah.
It's a TV show. Just got to remember that.
Yeah.
When we're never watching it on TV, it's pretty easy to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, what do you think?
I thought this year's was pretty fantastic. It's hard to think of a better one. I think it really worked. I think the proscenium wasn't a distraction as much as we thought it would be, but we were in the arena when we saw it first. So I think on the TV, it looked fantastic.
Really big.
Yeah. I thought the T shape kind of. What is it? What do they call that island?
Proscenium
thrust. From the main stage out into the crowd.
Yeah,
the promenade.
I thought that worked really well for a lot of the artists if they wanted to use it. What's a city I would like to see host? And this is never going to happen, so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Sydney.
But that would be the concert would have to start at 4:00 in the morning, and I don't know if my head can handle that.
This is all wishful thinking.
Okay. That would be cool.
Otherwise, I mean, in Europe, any country that hasn't won yet.
Something new. Just
something new.
Anything new would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was hoping 2020 for a shock Albania win.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Poland is overdue. I think Czech Republic is doing a lot of good work.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bulgaria could have pulled it off if they stuck around.
And they have they've got a decent venue. The R match where they hosted Junior in 2015 is a pretty solid venue.
What was the last city to host for the first time? Or was Liverpool there first?
Yeah, Liverpool was the first time that it was hosted in Liverpool.
Okay. Well, and I guess Basel.
This is the first time that it was hosted in Basel.
Okay. What was the last country to host for the first time? That's Portugal?
Portugal.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
I believe that was also the last time that a capital city hosted.
Interesting.
We haven't had capitals in a while. Oh, no, Vienna. No, Portugal. Yeah, Lisbon. But it might be Vienna.
You're thinking of next year. Yeah.
I'm thinking of next year.
We're not in the future yet, Sam.
Yeah.
Gonna be the future soon.
Okay. Just a couple questions to go. Nathan asks, thank you, Nathan. If the Barbara Jex Award still existed, who would have won?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I understand thematically how it worked into things. And at the end, the look was great. However, the Velociraptor look from Montenegro, and not Velociraptor, the frilled lizard look from Montenegro. Understand how it works thematically, but I spent half of the time looking at the dress and not listening to the performance.
Yeah.
She's great. The once she removed the high neck.
There were so many costume changes this year.
Yeah.
So many. I feel like having a costume change almost disqualifies you from Barbara Dex. Unless, both of them are bad.
They've done it before, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
There have been previous years where the Barbara Dex Award was one of the costumes that was used.
I mean, Ireland. It's kind of...
I thought that was actually really clever. It was like a spacesuit, but not overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was overbearing, but not in,
well, in a different way. Yes, I thought Georgia's original costume is a bit cumbersome as well.
Yeah, and the first one,
and when she took it off, wasn't very not very smooth transition.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like the sort of quick change, skirty rippy offy moment that we often see. It was more of like an actual like a disrobing, and then she suddenly became the fifth member of Måneskin.
It was like she was molting, like a spider.
Wow.
Oh, you know who it should be? Is the gal with the "Can I Dance with You" T-shirt from Estonia?
Oh,
we should reach out to her or someone there. I want to know the story behind like the Timothy Chalamet shirt from the thing, because that was legitimately hysterical. I want to know. I mean, I'm sure the EB was just like, you can't do that. But I want to know what the conversation was like, I guess. Danny, who gets your Barbara Dex Award?
Remind me specifically the costuming honor, the costuming element that this honors.
It's kind of been replaced.
It doesn't matter.
It's kind of been replaced by the quote unquote "Your a Vision" award for the most impactful outfit, because they just kind of thought the Barbara Dex award was a bit mean spirited. But yeah,
are we gonna get a full breakdown, by the way, of like all of that? Remember, like last year, how we had all of these very specific sort of image awards, like all of these like costuming awards.
I hope we really should do that again.
That was hilarious, and I mostly agreed with all of them. That was great. How hyper specific they
got. You know who I think might have, like, not who I would have picked for the Barbara Dex, but who I think might have won it, and I don't agree with this, is Lithuania.
Just because the outfits
are drab. I acknowledge that.
They're meant to be in like a dystopian kind of way.
Yes. It was appropriate for the song and for the group. Just saying, if somebody's looking at it from a pure like sartorial perspective, I could see them being like, yeah,
they're gonna give it to that man's there.
Do you think somebody would have given it to Lucio Corsi because of the white face makeup and people not getting it?
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Anyway, my answer is Ukraine, full stop. What's going on?
Mm.
Why is that what we are in for this sound? Completely incongruous. I think he's very good looking, and that is not a flattering getup. I don't know what's going on here.
It's not a bad choice.
It sure is a bold choice, but as we say in the theater, bold choice isn't a right choice.
Fair enough.
Mm.
All right. Good. Taking us home with this one, possibly the question I was most excited to read because it taught me some things. This is from Anne. This was via email. Thank you, Anne, for reaching out. I was wondering if the Statmotron has any facts about the overlap between Eurovision participants and Taskmaster. Mm. I know Erica Vickman from this year was on one episode of Surmistari, and of course, I didn't know any of this for the record. One half of Fear of Flamme from Denmark was on season 3 of the Danish Taskmaster, which is apparently called Stormeister. Love it. Are there others? I'll say in advance, the Statmotron does not track this. It should, but it doesn't. Is there enough overlap to get any correlation between performance in terms of points on Taskmaster and performance in terms of points in Eurovision? Oh man.
Ooh.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, where did you do any research into this, or
no. Well, when did you saw the question, expect an answer?
I did take a very cursory look, and I did see a couple of names that stood out. So on series 5 of Taskmaster Australia, we've got Joel Creasy, who has done commentary for the Australians.
Yeah.
Over in Taskmaster New Zealand,
one of the better ones.
Yeah, Laura Daniel, who is in the legendary second series, which is the one with Guy Montgomery, David Correos. If you haven't watched the second series of Taskmaster New Zealand, I highly recommend it. It was brilliant. But Laura Daniel, as one half of the duet Two Hearts, did a fantastic parody song about why New Zealand should take part in Eurovision. Not Eurovision, Eurovision. The Taskmaster for Taskmaster Portugal, which is just called, you know, Taskmaster Portugal, Vasco Palmarim has hosted the Melody, not the Melody, has hosted Festival de Canção many times. There are a whole bunch of Melody Festival and participants that have participated on the Swedish version, Bäst i Test. Names that are standing out there, I see Aniston Demina, Pernilla Wahlgren, Oscar Zia, a whole bunch of really well-known. There was one, a member of Alcazar, whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Oh, Alcazar.
Yep. Just a whole bunch. Because they have guest Wonderful. Panelists that come on, not for an entire season, but for like individual episodes.
I
so
feel
there's
like
that.
Hannah Waddingham is due to be on a New Year's Eve special or something.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, Hannah Waddingham, I think Sam Ryder would be incredible on a New Year's special. I think he would be a great sort of...
Yeah. When I think about like who would be good on Taskmaster, like Hannah Waddingham came to mind immediately. But like, let's just do a season. Hannah Waddingham, Philomena Cautela, Hazel Brugger.
Oh, Anka Engelke.
Petra Mehta, and the thing you just said.
Anka, yeah.
I mean, in terms of Eurovision performers, like, who would be fun? Vibe as a group? Did like a team Taskmaster? Mm-hmm.
Again, Sam Ryder, I think, would be fantastic. I think he would have the same energy. If you remember the episode, the special where they had Mo Farah and just approaching everything with just absolute joy. I feel like Sam Ryder would do that.
I mean, they did like a Eurovision episode of Pointless with Eurovision acts. Why can't they do a Eurovision episode of Taskmaster?
Oh God, Rylan. Rylan was on Taskmaster.
Was he?
Yes, he was on. He was
from
on New Year's special.
From where?
Rylan.
Rylan Clark, Neil. He's
just Rylan Clark. He's just Rylan Clark.
Oh, is he? Oh,
he's just Rylan Clark. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Rylan. He's the man with the world's whitest teeth. And he's
you mean not the guy from the Trivago commercials?
No, it's Rylan.
Even whiter? Okay.
Even whiter. Whiter than us. Oh gosh, I'm just trying to think of acts who would be really good or funny at Taskmaster. I don't know. There's so many good things to choose from.
In terms of Eurovision, you're looking for either, I was going to say, you're either looking for someone who's kind of lovably a dumb box of rocks or someone who's completely unflappable, which means anyone from GoA, because I feel like they would just look upon each task with utter contempt that I would absolutely love. Or Karia, who would be completely baffled by everything approach it like a child. Love that.
Also just picturing Ukrainian Taskmaster. destroy the Russian fleet. You have 15 minutes. You're tight.
So who do you think would make the best Taskmaster proper, like out of Eurovision?
Ooh. Oh, a master of tasks?
Yes. My brain goes, I'm not sure if he would be a better Taskmaster or assistant, but Clemen, in terms of being able to balance seriousness and comedy, I think he'd be a decent shout.
I think he would be the Taskmaster. I think he needs someone a little bit more impish at his side. I couldn't see him in the Taskmaster house. I couldn't see him in the little cottage.
Okay, so Clemen as Eurovision Taskmaster then.
Yes, I could see that.
Okay. I acknowledge this isn't the best approach, but what are there any Eurovision contestants who were notably super tall?
Notably super tall?
Dadi Freyr.
Dadi Freyr.
What's
going on?
I mean,
six foot eleven himself.
I've stood next to him. Do you remember if there were any Eurovision contestants who really like to sing about rising like a phoenix? There's no way to know. Good. I hope everyone who's listening to this was like, Eric, Jesus Christ. Come on.
I know Conchita Wurst's persona is a lot more friendly, but like, I don't know, getting a drag queen into the Taskmaster chair, it feels very fitting. I need someone who's just going to sass you and dress you down constantly.
Okay, going back to Dottie for a second, though, I think I would rather see Dottie as a contestant than as the Taskmaster.
He'd barely fit in that house. It's built for British people.
All right, listen, BBC, if you're listening, and I'm sure you aren't, think about it. Eurovision Taskmaster, like, put it on after the show like you did with the Doctor Who thing.
Damn it, it's taken me weeks to get that out of my head, and now I have it back again. Damn you, Dugadoo.
All right, just think about Tutta l'Italia.
Oh,
God, now I'm creating some sort of unholy mashup between Dugadoo and Tutta l'Italia.
Eric, just so that we can like wrap up this episode in the same way that Eurovision this year was, play Tutta l'Italia, please.
No.
Anyway, this was This was fantastic. If you have other questions that you want to throw at us, we love reading them. We love seeing them, especially during slow season. It's always good to check in with you folks. You know, let us know what you thought about our answers today. What other questions you have for us? You know how to reach us. 12pointsUSA on socials, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You know how to find us. It's summertime, so we are not putting out episodes every single week. Maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, depending on, you know, people are traveling, people are flying. But
June,
we will.
June is shaping up to be very busy. So we might take a couple weeks off. We'll see what happens. I mean, if something comes up that we got to talk about, we'll talk about it, and we'll see what happens. But stick with us. I do have some things in the Patreon pipeline. So if you're craving more Eurovision stuff from us, we will have some stuff there for sure. But that's not in place of our regular shows. Just some extra, some fun little extra stuff.
And we also some other stuff that we look forward to over the course of the summer. Dates to be determined, but some more collaborations with other Eurovision podcasters as well. So we're really, really looking forward to that. Yeah, maybe some folks you know, maybe some folks that you just don't know that you love yet. So keep your ears out for that. But until our next episode, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.